Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 201 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today we will focus on people who speak more than one language and how these languages have an impact on our daily lives and even on our thinking. First up in our category, Absolutely Intrigued, we hear from Issa, a Jordanian student who tells us how he learned first Arabic, then English, and now German, and which new worlds these languages have opened up for him. Has his first language always remained the dominant one? And does he prefer one language over another when it comes to discussing certain topics?
When I was 11 years old, there was this new channel called NBC, and it aired the first movie, yeah. And it was Jumanji. I was just reading the subtitles, but I loved the way it sounded, the English, okay. You know? So it got me intrigued to start learning this new language, and I watched.
In our second category, Absolutely Bicultural, we hear Thomas, who grew up with an Austrian mother and an English father. Is there really an advantage in growing up in a bilingual environment?
Sometimes when I was growing up, girls would be quite impressed when I could speak more than one language. So then once I realized that it was actually a good thing and maybe potentially it'd be useful, then I started actually trying to speak more German.
In our last part, Absolutely Inspiring, Issa tells us how he started his experience as a life coach by training himself in yet another language, that of positive thinking. Issa tells us stories and mentions some books which could potentially change your life. So beware.
Did you see that? Did you witness the magic in the sunset? And John was like, what magic? What are you talking about?
Look at my mosquito bites.
Exactly.
I can see those. Yes.
But now let us start with the show. Last week in one of my classes, I got interested in Issa Asaf, who is a Jordanian student and is doing an exchange semester at Rhein Ahr Campus. I asked him which role English plays in regular Jordanian everyday life. Issa explains how as a child he got motivated to learn English well. Apparently television played a very important role in this, as for so many people who have learned the language well. In our category, Absolutely Intrigued, I asked Issa how Jordanians get to learn English.
English is introduced in the syllabus of the schools at such a young age in kindergarten.
Okay.
That doesn't mean everyone is fluent in English, but that means that if you go to Jordan, and I hope you do, you'll find that wherever you go, someone speaks English, even if it's at a basic level. You can communicate with that person.
Yes, it is very much on my list of countries to visit within the next 5 years. Mm. And yes, it's very reassuring if you say that most people, even in a supermarket, would speak some English, because that makes it much easier if you don't speak Arabic. Mm. Now, how did you, for the first time, encounter a new language which was not Arabic? Do you remember that?
Yes, I was in kindergarten, I think, or first grade, something around that age, and this teacher made this quick competition on who guesses the word frog in English. Uh-huh. And I had no idea what a frog means in English, but the kid next to me knew, and he got a prize.
And you couldn't understand why he knew something that you didn't know.
Exactly. And it blew my mind, and I was like, I want to know what's a frog. Why does he know and I don't, you know?
Okay.
So it sparked something inside of me to start learning this language.
Bit of a competitive person you are.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So at that time, you didn't have any English at all. Did your family speak English?
My mom and my dad, they both don't speak the language.
Okay. So visitors wouldn't speak English?
No.
Okay. Now, how about television? Because in some countries, people learn English because of television if the films are not dubbed.
And that was the case. That was my case, actually, because when I was a kid, there was only cartoon on the TV. Mm-hmm. But when I was 11 years old, there was this new channel called NBC, and it aired the first movie, and it was Jumanji. I was just reading the subtitles, but I loved the way it sounded, the English, okay. You know, so it got me intrigued to start learning this new language. And I watched a lot of movies to get myself to a point where I can speak the English that I speak today.
Well, apparently it has worked very well for you. Yeah. Please tell my students to do the same, because I strongly believe in that way of learning English. Yes. But you don't only speak English. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Ja, jeden Tag mein Deutsch bekommt besser.
Very good.
Aber ich bin nicht, how do you say fluent in German? I forgot that word.
Well, that's a very good question, because we don't have the same word, actually. We don't have one adjective for that. You would use a different phrase there. And that's actually what I wanted to ask you about.
Yes.
If you speak, because you speak three languages at a pretty high level, do you sometimes find that something is easier to express in one language than in another? Or can you even give us examples?
Absolutely, yes. Examples I don't have on the top of my mind right now, but sometimes I would catch myself thinking in English. My thoughts at one point, they shift to English. Sometimes I would dream in English.
Okay.
So it depends on the context. And if it's something romantic, I feel, sometimes it's easier to express in English than it is in Arabic.
Okay.
Because Arabic is such a poetic language that it needs certain level of mastery to get a hold of it,
you know? Okay.
Yeah, and when I was in Italy, for example, for Easter break last week, I caught myself speaking German with the Italians. I would say stuff like Entschuldigung and hallo and tschüss. So yeah, sometimes you catch yourself switching between languages,
right,
involuntarily.
And do you sometimes find that your brain is just doing it and you have no control over that?
Not really. It happened for me around 7 years ago. And since then, the dominant language in my mind has been English, especially because in the field of work that I chose for myself, life coaching and motivational speaking, it originated in the Western world, or recently originated from the Western world. So all
the books you read are in English?
Exactly. The books, the seminars I attend, the conferences. So at one point, the vocabulary. So my coaching videos that I post on the page are in Arabic, but it was challenging for me at the beginning.
To stick to Arabic?
Arabic. It was actually a challenge from one of the viewers on the page, because I was using two languages, and they said, I challenge you to do a video in Arabic. And the competitive person that I am, I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I trained myself to relearn the vocabulary in Arabic.
The discussion about the dominance of one language over another somehow reminded me of an interview I took years ago with Thomas Brown, who grew up bilingually with an Austrian mother and an English father. What was it like for him to grow up in two languages? It sounds like at first he only learned his mother's language, German, while when he went on to school, he moved to only speak English. I asked Thomas how he lived this experience as a child. In our second category, absolutely bicultural, Thomas points out that it was not only about the language, but also about the culture. For example, they had a traditional Austrian Stube instead of an English living room, and he felt bicultural because even their family life had always been a little different from other English families.
My mother is Austrian and my father's English. And when they met, she moved to England to marry him. And then I've been growing up here all my life.
So what was the day-to-day situation? Did you learn both languages, or did you go to German school? Or?
Well, I've never lived in Austria or Germany. I never went to a German school, but my mother spoke to me. I was the firstborn, and my mother spoke to me in German. So German was actually my first language. That's the first thing I learned. And then when my sister was born, who is a year and a half younger than me, we actually used to speak to each other in German, and that only changed when I went to school, which was when I was 5, and then gradually English took over as my dominant language.
Can you still remember that you discovered that the world outside actually speaks a different language from what you speak at home?
I don't remember that at all, and actually my brother and my two sisters and I never speak German to each other. I don't know why, but that was the way things always were. We'd speak to our mother reluctantly, individually, one-on-one, but when we spoke to each other, in living memory, it was always English. In my living memory, I spoke English to both parents as much as I possibly could. And my mother would always speak to me in German, which, by the way, my father doesn't understand. But I would always reply in English, so my father would always speak in English. Where possible, I'd always speak English.
Right.
It was only when I went to boarding school and I'd come back, and also sometimes when I was growing up, girls would be quite impressed when I could speak more than one language. So then once I realised that it was actually a good thing and maybe potentially it'd be useful when I grew up, then I started actually trying to speak more German. So then I would actually be willing to speak to my mother in German. I'd sometimes initiate a conversation in German, even if she said something to me in English. And only when she'd start to try and correct my grammar, which is terrible, would I then wish I hadn't started trying to speak German.
Did you ever mix the languages? Did you make sentences which started in English and then finished in German?
There are German words that don't translate well into English, and so we do... Say we do have complete English conversations interspersed with the occasional German word. We're speaking to my mother, we'd meander from conversation into English, into German. All the German that I learnt was pretty much when I was quite young. So it was, you know, it was maybe a 10-year-old's German vocabulary. So if I need to talk about work or, you know, how awful the government is or, you know, whatever I want to have a whine about that I wouldn't have spoken about to as a child, I'd have to revert to English, but then the rest of the time it would go back into German.
Apart from the language, was this other culture in your home as well? Were there any things, I mean, did other people, neighbours and people who came into your house, did they know your mother was Austrian from the culture within the house maybe?
Well, I guess so. I mean, the things that my friends when we were young would notice was the food was different. My mother held on to Austrian cooking for a very long time, which meant that when I grew up and went to university and started eating curries and things like that, I was very bad at eating chilies, whereas everyone else, all the other Brits who'd been eating curries all their life, could handle them much more. So there was that. Then our house is actually quite Austrian. There's a lot of wood. We have a Stube instead of a living room. So that's very different. But then the other thing that's very different, which is, I wouldn't say uniquely Austrian or German, but is much more European than in England, is the importance of the family unit. Now, there are six of us in the family, so that does give it a bit of critical mass. But a lot of my friends really noticed that, you know, I went on holiday with my family till I was much older than a lot of the others, and we did a lot of things together, and we had a lot of quality time, and we always ate together. So there were a lot of differences, and you know, I've got a good Italian friend, and his family, I feel, is quite similar to mine in the importance of the family unit, whereas a lot of my English friends, less so.
It is true that when we discuss bilingualism, we may concentrate a little too much on the fact that people have two languages and tend to forget that they often also have grown up in two different cultures. Let us go back to Issa, who has chosen for himself to add a new culture to his life, but not a national culture this time. We are talking about positive thinking and positive language, which he got interested in some years ago. In his example, he demonstrates how one person can get impressed by a beautiful sunset, while a person right next to him will be distracted by flies and mosquitoes, all in the same situation. In our last part, absolutely inspiring, Issa explains how the power of language will affect our lives and how we can develop a more positive aspect on life by using a different kind of language.
There are two types of language in this world: victimhood language and leadership language. And those two are completely different. So, for example, if you want to talk about victimhood language, they use words like "I can't," or "it's too hard," or mm-hmm. "things are not going anywhere,"
okay.
or it's terrible, I hate it," those kind of words.
Okay.
In contrast to leadership vocabulary and leadership language, they use more powerful, empowering sentences and phrases and words.
Okay.
Yeah, things like, "I can do it, it can be done, I got this, you know, the future is looking bright," those kind of...
Actually, I've often wondered about this, because when you ask people, "I want to do this and that, when could we do that?" There are really two types. The one type will tell you when they cannot do it, and the other people will tell you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So is that
the difference that you're talking about?
This is definitely one of the differences. And what we don't understand, we're so unconscious about the kind of words that we use. And that is scary sometimes, because the quality of the words that you use and I use will end up shaping the quality of the life that we live. And the greats who lived on this planet, understood that fact and were very careful with the kind of words that come out of their mouth, because they understood it shapes their reality.
Hang on, are you saying the words that I say have an influence on my own life, or are you saying they will have an influence on the people I speak to?
Most definitely both, but on the first place it has an influence on you, because it runs twice in your mind, the first time when it comes out and the second time when it's processed through your mind. So you have double the effect of whatever words that you're saying. It is amplified in your mind. For example, let's say I'm telling you about a problem that I'm going through and I'm very negative about it. Well, the first time, I'm processing the thoughts I want to tell you. So I have negative thoughts flowing through my mind. And the second time is when the words came out of my mouth, I heard them again in my ears. So it processed twice in my mind. So it has twice the negative effect, in contrast to the other example, the more positive one. If I tell you about an opportunity that I have, or something I'm looking forward to do, or my ability to do something. And yeah, it had to be one of the first books. I think it was The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy. And he so elegantly speaks about the subconscious mind and how it can be used to uplift the entire life, the quality of life that you're living. So yeah.
Are you saying then that just by using different words, like opportunity instead of problem, let's face it, because most other people would probably call the same situation a problem, that you are lifting yourself out of something and lifting yourself up? How can the word have such power?
Yeah, well, it would be ridiculous to say that just by changing your words, everything is going to be working out wonderfully. But it most definitely is the foundation of the process that you're going to have to go through, because the word itself, it changes the psychology that you're using, and your psychology will end up determining the kind of belief system that you have. So like Robin Sharma again said, a problem is only a problem when you call it a problem. Everything depends on the kind of mindset that you come from. So this is a story about two twins who grew up in the same household. And one time they decided to go visit the Dead Sea back home in my country. And they sat down, they found a nice view, and they said they want to watch the sunset because they've never seen it before and they would like to witness it. They sat down there, and it's a very hot area, so during the summer you'd find a lot of mosquitoes and flies. The first one, let's call him Michael, for example, he was mesmerized when he saw the sun setting down. He opened his mouth and he couldn't focus on anything else. He was in complete awe. But his brother, let's call him John, for example, he couldn't focus on the sunset. There were so many flies. It was so hot, yes. He was sweating, and he kept on pushing away the flies. And the sun sat down, and he couldn't see anything. And after that, Michael was telling John, "Did you see that? Did you witness the magic in the sunset?" And John was like, "What magic? What are you talking about?
Look at my mosquito bites.
Exactly.
I can see those." Yes, I'm afraid I'm a little bit more the John type. When the mosquitoes are around, I find it a little difficult to concentrate on other things. Now, you say that this language has such a powerful influence on you. Have you changed your language, or are you now bilingual? Well, what do you say? Can you go between the two different languages when you're dealing with different people?
The language that has stuck with me is leadership language. But sometimes, I don't want to say I adapt, but sometimes I compromise a little bit of my leadership language if I am serving someone who is so far away from the positive spectrum. I tone my language a little bit down, but I never change it to victimhood language, so that doesn't shock him or he doesn't have a negative reflex towards the words that I use.
Robin Sharma says a problem is only a problem when you call it a problem. So, homework for next week. Forget about your problems and turn them into opportunities instead. And maybe you will have to learn a more positive language and culture to achieve this. If you need any help, get in touch with Issa.
Thank you all who joined us for today's show. Please check out our website, absolutely-intercultural.com, which Anne has been improving over the last couple of months. Check out the new features or just get more information about this and previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 6th of May. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.